record number of voters are expected to cast ballots in California tomorrow. The number of voters has reached an all-time high of 18 million. While most of the media are focused on the presidential race, we've got 11 important propositions to vote on, which will affect the future of GMO labeling, the death penalty, and the three strikes law. Spending on propositions has reached $350 million. On today's Your Call, we are opening up the lines to take your last-minute questions. Are you still unsure about a certain proposition? Do you have a question about voting? We will pose your questions to members of the League of Women Voters and the California Voter Foundation. Join us after the news.
BBC News with Sue Montgomery. Barack Obama and his Republican challenger Mitt Romney are making a final tour of key swing states on the last day of campaigning for the US presidential election. Jane Little has the details.
By the end of today, Mitt Romney will have campaigned in Florida, Virginia, Ohio, and New Hampshire, most of which he needs to win in order to take the White House. President Obama is concentrating his energies in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Ohio, the last state his so-called firewall. No Republican has won the presidency without it. Polls suggest Barack Obama retains a slim lead there, but Mitt Romney claims he has the intensity factor, or the enthusiasm of the voters. And at this late stage, it all comes down to turnout. It's that will decide who wins this closest of elections since 1960.
The authorities in the United States say some 1.4 million homes and businesses are still without power, a week after a huge storm caused massive damage on the country's east coast. However, the government department responsible for electricity delivery said the figure represented a reduction of about 1.1 million from Saturday. It said most of those affected were in New Jersey and New York. Syrian state media and opposition activists say a suicide car bomb has killed a number of people in a village in Hama province. The opposition Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says at least 50 members of the security forces died in the attack. James Reynolds has more.
Reports from Syria say that a suicide car bomber detonated explosives outside a military post in the village of Ziyada in the country's central Hama province. The post is reported to be one of the biggest military positions in the area. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, an activist group based in the UK, says that the bomber came from the Nusra Front. That's an Islamist group which acts independently from other Syrian rebel factions. If the numbers of dead are confirmed, the attack would be one of the biggest single strikes against Syrian government forces in the country's year-and-a-half-long conflict.
A large crowd has protested in the Sri Lankan capital Colombo against government moves to impeach the country's chief justice. Here's Charles Haviland.
A crowd of more than 1,000 people, including hundreds of lawyers, moved through the city centre, denouncing what they say are moves by the executive, headed by the all-powerful president Mahinda Rajapaksa, to cut the judiciary down to size. It came 4 days after government MPs handed the speaker a motion to impeach the chief justice, Shirani Bandaranaike. He'll decide soon on whether to take the process further. The government hasn't said exactly why it seeks to impeach the top judge. Opposition figures say the government is furious that she delayed passage of a key bill that centralises development funds.
You're listening to the World News from the BBC. King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia has removed his interior minister, replacing him with the man who's run the country's security services for several years. The new minister is Prince Mohammed bin Nayef, the son of Prince Nayef, who died in June, having himself served as interior minister for decades. The Electoral Commission in Ukraine, which has been examining the country's disputed parliamentary elections, has said voting must take place again in 5 single-seat constituencies because the results in those districts cannot be established. Earlier, opposition parties held a rally in the capital, Kiev, to protest over what they say was fraud in the elections, which were held last month. The opposition says President Viktor Yanukovych's ruling party rigged the ballot. Rights groups have welcomed the suspension in Malawi of laws criminalising homosexuality. Amnesty International described as an historic step forward an order by the Malawian Justice Minister that police should not arrest or prosecute anyone involved in same-sex relationships. Mary Harper has more.
Malawi's Justice Minister Ralph Kasambara said the continued punishment of gays would be embarrassing for the government if the law was found to be unconstitutional. Undule Makasungula of Malawi's Centre for Human Rights and Rehabilitation cautiously welcomed the Justice Minister's decision to suspend the law banning homosexuality. But not all Malawians support the decision. One of the country's most influential traditional leaders, Chief Kaumba, said homosexuality was against Malawian culture.
The Anti-Corruption Commission in Bangladesh has filed charges against 14 people, accusing them of involvement in a multi-million dollar telecoms fraud. Six of the accused used to work for the state-owned Bangladesh telecommunication company, including a former managing director. The other eight represented international companies. BBC News.
Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Well, tomorrow is Election Day, and while much of the media coverage is focused on the presidential race, there are 11 statewide ballot measures that could bring about sweeping changes here in California. Among some of the more controversial issues, Prop 37 would require labeling of genetically modified food. Prop 36 would make significant changes to the infamous three strikes law. And Prop 34 would abolish the death penalty in California. And all eyes across the country are on these propositions. According to MapLight, more than $350 million has poured in for and against the initiatives. Most of this money is coming from a handful of ultra-rich donors and major corporations. And then there are congressional races. A dozen of California's 53 congressional seats are up for grabs, making it the most competitive House landscape in the nation. Outside groups and independent super PACs have spent more than $51 million on these races. So on today's Your Call, with one day left, we are opening up the lines to take your last-minute questions about the propositions and about voting. Are you still unsure about a certain proposition? And do you have any voting questions? Have basic voting questions been addressed in your community? We'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Maybe if you've moved, if you haven't received your absentee ballot yet, if you have any just basic questions, we want to make sure you have all the information you need to make it to the polls and to make sure that your vote is counted. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Or you can leave a comment on our website. Today, we are joined by Leanne Campodonico. She is Voter Service Director with the League of Women Voters in California. She specializes in voter education, and she joins us here in studio. Hi, Leanne. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, hello, Rose.
We're also joined by Suzanne Barba. She is past president of the Eden area of the League of Women Voters. And Suzanne regularly does presentations showing the pros and cons of each proposition. Hi, Suzanne. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have both of you. So first off, this is very good news. California just reached an all-time high voter registration of 18 million voters. So what's your response to that, Leanne, and what explains that?
Well, I think there's just been a lot more availability through the social media, through websites, encouragement for people to vote. There's the youth outreach, Rock the Vote, which I've been hearing interviews by young people who got very excited about voting for the first time that way. But this year, for the first time, voters can register online. And that was a very important new method for especially young voters to go online and very quickly and easily register to vote.
And was that popular this year?
Very, very. There was just outstanding outpouring in the very first few days. It almost overwhelmed the system, I think.
And Suzanne, what would you add to that? What are your thoughts on this all-time high of 18 million voters in California?
Well, I agree with what Leanne said, and I just read today that the Registrar of Voters had received 8,000 applications for registering to vote as soon as they opened up, and that was an outstanding figure. And I also think that because some of the propositions are very controversial, there has been a lot of energy put into Proposition 30 and 38, which impacts K-12 and community college education. issues, and I think perhaps that young people have heard about these things and want to get their votes in as well.
And it was very distressing to see photos of people in places like Miami-Dade in Florida and in Cleveland, Ohio, waiting in lines up to 9 hours. And it's just unbelievable that that happens in this country, but it is happening. It's probably safe to assume that nothing like that will happen in California.
Not likely. California's legislature and the governor all seem to be supporting making it easier for voters to register and to vote. The governor signed a bill that will allow same-day registration on Election Day, which would enable a lot more people to vote.
And that goes into effect in 2014.
Right, that's correct. So the political culture in the Bay Area is just quite a bit different. It's about inclusion and not exclusion.
Right, because Florida's Republican-controlled legislature shortened the number of early voting days from 14 to 8. And so you've got all these people going at the last minute, and there's just, again, 9-hour lines. It's so hard to comprehend that. But we've got a call on absentee voting. So let's hear from Ed in Berkeley. Hi, Ed. Welcome to the show.
Is that me?
Hi, yes.
Yeah, hi. Well, you know, I've heard the horror stories of people collecting your registration, especially, and also your voting, and just if you're a Democrat and the Republicans throw it in the trash. Am I safe to deliver my absentee vote rather than put it in the mail? Is it just take it down to the city hall in Berkeley and just put it into their box? Is that going to be safe, or am I going to have to worry about that too?
Well, in Alameda County, the best thing for you to do is to bring it to any polling place on Election Day. It's too late to mail it, so we recommend that you go to any polling place in Berkeley or anywhere in Alameda County, wherever you happen to be, because you can take it, and the officials there at the official table will take your ballot or allow you to put it in the gray ballot box. And that is extremely safe. There's seals, there's verification, there's observers watching that everything is going correctly. So I think you can feel extremely safe by bringing your absentee ballot to a polling place tomorrow.
And Ed, do you know where to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, is it like that in other states, in other counties, or other counties in California? Or, I mean, this program goes out to a large number of people. Where is it safe to do that? Or where is it not safe to do that?
I'm afraid I don't know where in California it's not safe. I mean, maybe later in the program, Kim Alexander from the Voter Foundation can comment on that. But California as a whole is a state that is has a fairly good reputation for clean voting.
Uh-huh. But maybe in Florida, even if you put it in the voting box, it may be taken out by somebody who didn't like your vote.
I think we'll have to see what happens. We do have an organization called the Election Protection Network, and if people are suspicious that ballots and voting is being disturbed in an illegal way, they can call their number. I think Rose has that number for people to call.
Yes, the number is 866-687-8683, the Election Protection Hotline, 866-687-8683. And thank you for calling. I was just looking online, and there are instances of absentee ballots being thrown out in Florida. So you can understand why people are concerned about this. Well, thank you for calling in, Ed. And again, if you have an absentee ballot, it is too late to mail it in, so do not do that. Just bring it to any polling place in your area.
In your county.
In your county.
Right.
And you can also take it to City Hall?
No, it would be better if you went to your courthouse, wherever your courthouse is in your county, because that is where the Register of Voters has his or her office, and that's where they'll be handling those ballots. City Hall might be a polling place, I don't know, but most reliable place is to go to your county courthouse.
Okay, well, thank you, Ed. Very important question. So again, your courthouse or a polling place. And if you have any questions, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. You can also post a question online or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. So, Suzanne, what are you hearing from voters? What's different about this election versus 2008 in terms of questions?
I think people are anguishing about whether they should vote for Proposition 30, which is called Governor Brown's initiative, or 38, which is called Molly Munger's initiative. They both impact taxes. Well, actually, no, Proposition 30 impacts taxes, but they both impact K-12 education. And some people have said to me, you know, my head is with 30, but my heart is with 38. And so they're having to make that decision. And then suddenly people are saying, well, maybe I'll just vote no on both, or I'll vote yes on both, because they both can't pass. Whichever one, if they both pass, the one with the highest percentage is the one that is put into effect, and not both of them. So that one, I think, is causing voters the most trouble.
Right, Propositions 30 and 38. And we did do debates on that prop. You can find it at yourcallradio.org. And if you want more information in terms of funders, supporters, opposers, a great website is Ballotpedia. They've got a nice long list.
Right, exactly.
And
actually, there was some news today about the fact that the Fair Political Practices thing has won their suit, and they have to open up that I think it was $11 million donated by an independent or one of those super PACs, and they wanted to know who was behind it. And so I think that's news that just came out today.
Another place beside Ballotpedia to go look for pros and cons on the ballot measures would be to go to the cavotes.org website. It's a league website, and you will find ballot measures listed, and we have a very good pros and cons background written on each ballot. It's fairly short. I think people probably would have time this evening to go through that. That information has taken months to research. There's lots of links and information about where else you can go to get more information. But if you really want some trustworthy and factual information that gives you a good idea of what the pros and cons are for each ballot measure, you can go to cavotes.org.
All right. Thank you for that. And we'll put these links on our website. We have another question from Susan in San Rafael about absentee ballots. She says, I've heard that when you walk in your absentee ballot, it is not counted unless the vote outcome is close. Is this true or false? And that's the way my husband and I vote. We like to take the time at home to be sure we put the mark where we want to without the stress.
No, all the absentee ballots will be counted. They are not counted as quickly as those votes. In some counties, your paper ballot goes into a scanner. That's the way it works in Alameda County. So those results are known immediately as soon as the memory cards are taken to the courthouse. But the absentee ballots are then processed right away when they go to the election office. You can be assured that those are very important ballots. The thing you've got to remember is that you must sign that envelope, and I think that's true everywhere. If you don't sign the envelope, there's no way to verify your signature that is a valid ballot.
So if you don't sign it, then your vote doesn't count?
That's when it doesn't count.
Okay. So be sure to sign the envelope.
Right.
Thank you for the call, Susan. Your absentee will be counted as long as you sign the envelope.
Right.
Okay, thank you. And again, it's too late to mail in the absentee, so bring it to a polling station or your courthouse. And let's go to our next caller, Gregory in Woodside. Hi, Gregory. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask, I was wondering if there's going to be any changes for people that own multiple homes. Like, I have a home in Miami-Dade, and I have one here. And, I'd love to be able to vote on different things, different initiatives within my local area here in Woodside. But if I change my registration to California. Yes, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. If I change my registration here to California, then, it changes my whole tax structure. And I'm not able to vote here in California. And it just kind of sucks that, you have to vote in one state or the other, and you can't, vote for the local offices or initiatives if you have a home. In multiple locations.
Well, the same as a candidate can't represent two different districts and sort of choose which house he's going to use as his residence. A voter has to decide where they reside. California election law says that you must register, and they call it at your domicile. That is where you're living, and that is the legal place where you can register to vote, so that you can't vote in a place where you don't actually live.
Well, if you own multiple homes, you live both places, and I think I have several friends that are in the same situation, and it's just kind of you know, you should be able to represent yourself. If you purchase a home here, then you should be able to have a, you know, a say in a local vote as well. I mean, maybe not in the federal or state, you know, federal level, but everything else you should be able to have a voice in.
Well, I would have that discussion with the registered voters in whatever county you would like to do that, in perhaps in both counties. But basically, the word is pick one.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, Gregory. And if you'd like to join us today, we are opening up the lines to take your questions about voting. If you have any last-minute questions about the 11 propositions that we are voting on, we'd love to hear from you. And California has reached an all-time high of 18 million registered voters, while the number of registered Republicans has fallen below 30%. This is according to the Secretary of State's office. If you've got any questions about voting, about the props, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. Which proposition are you closely watching? More than 350 million has poured in for and against these initiatives. The majority of that money comes from a handful of ultra-rich donors and major corporations. You can also leave a comment on our website or email feedback at yourcallradio.org. So, Leanne, Suzanne said that most of the questions are coming in about Props 30 and 38. What are you hearing from voters this time around?
I think one of the key questions about and concerning 30 and 38 is that question that I think Suzanne referred to is, what happens if both Props 30 and 38 passed. So it would probably be a good idea to make that very clear. The state constitution says that if both measures pass, or any two measures that have similar issues involved, the one with the most vote prevails. So if Prop 38 passes with more votes, income tax rates would increase according to the Prop 38 formula. But however, that the cuts that Prop 30, if it failed, would still happen. So in other words, there would be cuts to spending for K through 12 education, community colleges, and universities if Prop 30 were not the prevailing proposition. It's unclear whether the sections of Prop 30 would pass regarding the sales tax increase or the funding that needs to go from the state to the local jurisdictions to follow the adjustment, the realignment of programs. Probably the state franchise tax board and the courts will have to decide those issues.
And we're getting a few more questions about Props 30 and 38. People are confused about this. So I just want to read the language on your website. And again, I highly recommend listening to our debate about 30 and 38 because there are so many layers to these measures and there's no possible way we can go over all of it. But just briefly, so Prop 30, a yes vote means that the state would increase personal income taxes on people making over $250,000 a year for 7 years, and also sales tax by a quarter cent. The new tax revenues would be available to fund programs in the state budget to fund schools and public safety. So that would be, that's Prop 30. And you can add anything if you'd like, Leanne and Suzanne. And then Prop 38, a yes vote means state personal income tax rates across the board would increase for 12 years. The additional revenues would be used for schools, childcare, preschool, and state debt payments. Do you want to add anything else to those?
Well, one thing to note, this is
on a sliding scale.
Suzanne? Go ahead. What was that?
Proposition 38, the tax, the state tax, is on a sliding scale. You didn't mention that because Proposition 30 is for the taxes on the people who earn over $250,000. Proposition 38 taxes everybody, but on a sliding scale so that the poorest people will pay hardly anything and then the richest people will pay more. That's
okay.
All I wanted to add.
Okay. And Leanne?
And also to note that this is partly a constitutional amendment, so it's important to note that, and that has to do with the part of the proposition where the state, if it does pass, the Constitution would mandate that the state has to fund programs that have been transferred to local governments, and that is part of a little-known part, but a very important part of a change that Prop 30 would incur.
And what can you tell us, just quickly, what strikes you about the funders behind Proposition 30?
Well, the governor has been a very good fundraiser, I would say. One of the more curious aspects, I would suppose, is the amount of money that's spent against it and where that comes from. And I don't have the MapLight site up right now, but that is a place that can give you all of that information. But I can give you a little bit of what a flavor of what the supporters for 30 and what the opponents of 30 say, if that would be helpful at this point. So Prop 30 supporters say that these taxes are temporary, balanced, and necessary for state students, that it is the only initiative which protects school and safety funding and addresses the state's unending budget mess. The people against 30 say that it has no assurances that tax increases will actually benefit classrooms, and that politicians and special interests want to continue their out-of-control spending but not make meaningful reforms. So that's, you know, in a nutshell where the two sides come down. And you can get more information about the supporters and opponents and the amount of money that they've spent up till now on MapLight.
Yeah, and we're talking about tens of millions of dollars on Proposition 38 and Proposition 30.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you again for calling in. Thanks for the emails. Let's go next to Adam in San Rafael. Hi, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. I just moved to California.
Your call. Can I get your name, please?
Adam?
Yeah.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, I just moved to California this summer and came across an interesting little bump in trying to vote here. I'm registered in Butte County, and according to the Secretary of State website, I live in a mail ballot precinct, and my voting materials should have been mailed. And I'm curious if that means that I'm not, like, able to just go to a local polling area and vote, or what the deal is?
Well, you are definitely in one of the districts that's a very special case, so you need to call your registered voters right away. I know that most registered voters' offices are working 24/7, so you need to call them right away. Unfortunately, I don't have the Butte County ROV phone number or website at hand, but if you search and find their website, there'll be a phone number that you can call and verify, and they can tell you how you can vote. In precincts where you actually have physical polling places, you can vote provisionally in your circumstance, but you're definitely in a very special circumstance. So I would get in touch with your local ROV with Butte County right away.
And I just found that number for you. The number is 800-894-7761. 800-894-7761. Are you still with us, Adam?
Yeah.
Did you get the number?
I did, 894-7761.
Yep.
So yeah, thanks for
calling. Call them right now. Okay,
will do.
I hope you can vote. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go next to Jeannie in San Francisco. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi there. I had two questions, one a general one and one's specific to me. One is, for people who are waiting, like, you know, 9 hours in line to vote, why aren't those people just, you know, voting by mail? It's just so easy, and then you don't have to wait in line. That's the first question. And then the other question is, I remember you saying that it's really important to sign your mail-in ballot, otherwise it's not valid.
Right.
Well, if I changed my name because I got married, if I sign the name with my new name, does that still count if the names don't match?
No, the ballot won't count. And when you have a name change, you should have changed your registration. You don't just register to vote for the first time, but you do fill out a new registration card or form online when you've changed your name or when you've changed your address or you want to change your party affiliation. I would go online. The San Francisco ROV probably has a voter profile, and you should be able to see how you're registered, and that's how you should sign your ballot. And if you have any questions about that, I would call your ROV in San Francisco.
The ROV.
The Register of Voters.
Got it. Thank you.
In San Francisco County.
Okay.
And it's very easy to find that online. All right. Well, thank you again for calling in. And today we are talking about last-minute questions. Tomorrow is Election Day. It is finally here. No more ads after probably, what, tomorrow afternoon, maybe? Or I guess when the polls close for us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, when the polls polls close in California, they will pretty much be done.
Be done. All right. Well, today we're talking about all of your last-minute questions with Leanne Campodonico. She's Voter Service Director with the League of Women Voters. We're also joined by Suzanne Barba, past president of the Eden area of the League. And if you have any questions about voting, we'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions about propositions, we're getting more about 30 and 38, so we will address those right after the break. 866-798-8255. And again, if you want to know who's funding these props, go to Ballotpedia. It's a great website. You can also email us feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on our website. It's Your Call. We'll be back after this. On election night, be part of a special broadcast here on KALW. I'm Rose Aguilar, and I'll be hosting our coverage of the 2012 elections live from the Freight and Salvage in Berkeley. If you'd like to join us at the Freight, please pre-register at KALW.org. You can also tune in to 91.7 FM for results from across the country and analysis from a Bay Area perspective. It all starts at 5 p.m. Tuesday, election night, here on KALW. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Tomorrow on Election Day, we will talk about what it means to get out the vote. About a week ago, we talked about why voter turnout in the United States is so incredibly low. So we're going to talk about how grassroots groups are trying to get out the vote, what actually works. And then on Wednesday, it'll all be over and Holly Kernan will go over the winners and talk about the propositions, how people voted, and hopefully we will have everything decided by Wednesday. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. And if you have any questions about voting or the propositions, we've got full lines right now. We'll have a line open in a couple minutes. Now would be a good time to leave your question or comment on our website, yourcallradio.org, or you can email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We're joined today by Leanne Campodonico, Voter Service Director with the League of Women Voters, and Suzanne Barba, past president of the Eden area of the League. And we've got a couple more emails about Prop 30 and 38. One listener says, which of these propositions will drop revenue to social services? If Prop 30 fails, this is Jerry Brown's prop, will there be more cuts to social services like IHSS, adult services, or the low-income disabled? If they pass, will money only go to education?
Well, if you're talking about the triggered cuts, those affect education. Those affect K through 12 education, community colleges, and universities by tune of to the level of $6 billion. So that's what the trigger cuts are about.
And so how will Prop 30 affect social services at all?
It doesn't specifically. It would only be in terms of what the legislature decides it has to do in response to lack of revenues.
Okay. And can you add anything to that, Suzanne, about how these two props will affect social services or won't?
No, but I think if they find that the hole is bigger in the budget than they anticipated, that they might also look for other places, and social services is another place that they have gone to before. So that is very, very sad.
And what's the scenario for that one, to go after social services again?
Well, you know, part of this is because they have this hole in the budget of $6 billion. So this Proposition 30 will bring in the $6 billion to fund education. But if revenues are not as anticipated and the hole in the budget is bigger, then they'll be looking for other places to cut, because education is already down to the bone.
Exactly. And we're hearing that if 30 doesn't pass, state schools like Chico State, Sac State will not admit new students next year.
Right. And then K-12 will cut 3 weeks, I think, from their calendar, and that would be pretty bad as well.
Very bad. We also have an email from Allison who says, can you make a distinction between 30 and 38 regarding funding for community colleges?
Go ahead, Leanne.
The Prop 38 funding goes toward K through 12 education, early childhood education, and Let's see, I'm looking for my notes.
Preschool, and which is just like early ed, yeah. You know.
Right, right.
But it doesn't cover anything as far as the colleges go.
Okay, right. So community colleges would not be affected at all by Prop
right.
38, no new money.
Right.
What about Prop 30?
Yes, that goes for the whole range of the education process in California, public education process in California.
From K through community college, or through UCs.
Right.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you for the question, Allison. And let's hear from Kevin in San Jose. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to the show. Hello, Kevin? All right. Let's see. Kevin, are you with us? No. All right. We'll get Kevin in just a couple of minutes. Can you talk a little bit about any other specific questions on propositions that people are asking you about?
They are a little puzzled by a couple of propositions that they don't understand why we have this proposition. And Proposition 33, having to do with insurance companies be able to raise insurance rates on one group of drivers and be able to discount them for another group of drivers. I'd read the proposition, the short form. You can go to our pros and cons on cavotes.org and read a little bit about the proposition, but not particularly in depth, because I'm sure we don't have time to do that today. But also go to MapLight, which is at votersedge.org, and look at where the money's flowing. It's fairly instructional where that proposition is being financed.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this one up, because this is hardly getting any attention. We didn't even talk about it. But the donors in favor of Prop 33, George Joseph, $16 million. He chairs the insurance company Mercury General. They're a prominent donor to Prop 33. And then those opposed, California Nurses Association, 97,000, Consumer Watchdog, 95,000, and Campaign for Consumer Rights.
The other one, I would say, is a proposition concerning human trafficking.
And that's Prop 35.
That's Prop 35, right. I think it has a very strong summary statement, but it really, I think, for voters to do a good job of making up their minds about this particular proposition, need to read a little deeper into it.
Yeah.
And see what the possible consequences might be. It's an interesting measure. I, at this point, don't know how it's doing, but I would just counsel people to go and read more about it.
Yes, and Holly Crennan did do a debate on Proposition 35, and you can find that at yourcallradio.org.
So I can talk about what it does very briefly. What it does is expand the definition of human trafficking to include crimes relating to creating and distributing child pornography. So we're not just talking about children who have been taken for the sex industry. We're talking about child pornography. Because right now there's actually very few people in California, under California criminal jurisdiction, who are in jail for human trafficking as such.
All right. And then we have an email from John about Proposition 37, the GMO labeling law. Did anyone from California's NAACP explain why they came out against Prop 37? It's insane. He says, are they not aware that people of color are most impacted by food safety and labeling? And this is getting a lot of attention on Facebook. People are sort of outraged about why or people who obviously favor Prop 37 wonder why the NAACP would oppose this.
I'm not sure I could speculate, because I haven't heard the public statement and their reasoning. But you can go, I'm sure, to their website where they talk about why they have supported or not supported or taken a neutral position on any particular proposition. Again, our website can be a really good source of information.
All right. And yeah, I haven't read any statements, but we'll find an article and put it on the website. Thank you for writing in on Prop 37, John. A lot of money is being poured into Prop 37.
Right.
On the no side.
Again, go to MapLight and look at the difference in expenditures on both sides.
Right, and led by Monsanto on the no side. We also did a debate on that one. Thank you for the email, and let's go back to callers. We've got full lines, so we have to take everyone's questions, so we will answer them as they come in. Let's hear from Thelma in San Francisco. Hi, Thelma.
Hi, Rose. It's the first time in my life I will be voting as an independent, and my question about the technicalities of voting, like, am I getting a special separate ballot or two ballots, one from each party, or how does it go, the voting?
Okay, so in a general election, anyone who is affiliated with the party or not will have the same ballot. It's only in the primary that the ballots might be a little bit different. And with the top two primary in June, everyone, no matter what their party affiliation, could vote most of the ballot. And the only partisan party-nominated election that we had was the primary election for the presidential nominees. But when you look at your ballot in November, your ballot would be the same as anyone else has received.
Thelma, did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you for calling. And let's hear from John in San Francisco. Hi, John.
Hi there. I have a question about absentee voting again.
Okay.
There are actually two spots on the back of the ballot, at least for San Francisco residents, to put a signature. And I errantly put a signature in the return ballot on top, which evidently you sign if you want to get a second ballot. In other words, you fouled the first ballot. So I wrote void over that and then signed the signature box that was on the bottom where I should have signed. So I'm just curious, if I turn this in, is my ballot going to be thrown out? And then a second part of the question, why can't I just take a completed ballot to my voting, local voting location and have that scanned on the same day?
Okay, so I will answer the last question first. I'm going to answer it as if you were a voter in Alameda County, but I suspect that San Francisco works pretty much the same. If you feel you've somehow made a mistake on your ballot, you bring in the ballot and the envelope to your precinct. But it needs to be your precinct because I think there are district elections in San Francisco, so different parts of the city will have different ballots. And you will say, I would like to spoil my ballot and get a new one. And then it would scan in. And in regards to your first question, I'm not quite sure where you did all that marking. If you did it on the ballot itself, I'm not sure the scanner would take it because it would see that as a defective ballot because it might have what it would call stray markings on it that will not be read correctly by the scanner. So I don't know if you're talking about the envelope you've done this writing on or whether...
I think you said the envelope.
On the envelope. In any case, if there's any question, I would go to your polling place and I would ask to spoil that ballot. And as long as you have both the ballot, all parts of the ballot, all cards, and the envelope, they will spoil it and give you a totally fresh ballot. And at the polling place, at least in Alameda County, you've got three tries. You can spoil it twice, and the last one you've got to get right.
All right. All good, John? Thanks for calling in, John. Today we are taking your last-minute voting questions, and we've got so many detailed questions. I'm so glad we did this show. We're joined today by Leanne Campodonico, Voter Service Director with the League of Women Voters, Suzanne Barba, past president of the Eden area of the League of Women Voters. And if you'd like to join us, we've got about 15 minutes left, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also leave a comment on our website or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We are expecting record turnout tomorrow. 18 million Californians are registered. And so if you have any last-minute questions about voting or about the propositions, we'd love to hear from you. And Leanne, you wanted to jump in.
Right. Well, partly some of these questions come to me because I work the polls, and I've worked the polls for many years. And I would just like to urge people to take a look at that process when you walk in the polling place. There are some very dedicated volunteers there who work very long hours. They get a little bit of an allowance for doing what they do. So I would encourage people to consider that this is the day when all of that money that's being spent comes down to walking into that precinct and being helped out by those volunteers. So think about becoming a poll worker and help the process on the day of go better and go smoother.
That $6 billion is not being funneled to the poll workers, right?
Not at all.
Bring them some snacks or something. I'm sure they would love it. And I'm getting some emails, actually, about the NAACP opposing Prop 37. And I was curious about this. So I found an article, Prop 37 Battle, by Policy Mike. And according to this piece, it says, why would the NAACP oppose a proposition that would make people more aware of the food they're eating, Alice Huffman, president of the NAACP California State Conference, says that it would, quote, increase the grocery bills of the average California family by hundreds of dollars a year. And then the piece goes on to say, a study conducted by Joanna Shepherd Bailey, a tenured professor at Emory, found that consumers will likely see no increase in prices as a result of the relabeling required. 61 other countries labeled GE foods, and in Europe, for example, there were no changes in food costs due to labeling of GE foods. So again, John, thank you. It was very interesting. The NAACP came out against Prop 37, and I just wanted to find out why that was. So we will put a link to this article right after the show. And now I would like to welcome Kim Alexander to the show. Kim is president and founder of the California Voter Foundation, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization working to improve the election process. Hi, Kim. Welcome to the show. It's been a while.
Hi, Rose. It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's great to hear you. So what are you hearing from voters? What are people concerned about this time around?
The most frequent questions we get from people at this stage is things like, I'm not registered to vote at my current address. Can I still vote? Or I lost my vote by mail ballot, or it never arrived. I don't know if you've already covered those on your show, so I don't want to repeat it if you've covered that, but I'd be happy to.
We haven't actually gone there yet.
Well, for the folks who didn't, you know, you have to re-register every time you move, and a lot of people mistakenly think that once you update your address at the post office, you're done, and unfortunately that's not the case. So, you know, if you didn't re-register by the deadline, which was 2 weeks ago, then it's too late unless you moved within your same county, which is actually what most people do. So what you'd need to do if you're this kind of voter is verify that you are registered to vote at your old address. You can do that online by using these great lookup tools that most of the counties have. And you can go to our website at calvoter.org and click on the very first link on our page for the county election offices, and that will get you right into the exact tool for your county or the contact information you need to verify that you are where you are registered to vote. Once you learn that, then you can also use those lookup tools to find what your new polling place would be. You'd go there tomorrow, fill out a new voter registration form, and cast a provisional ballot, and it will get counted. So, you know, that's a hard message to get out. It's really confusing to let people know this, but I do want to let people know there is this sort of, you know, way that you can do same-day registration in California if you meet those circumstances.
All right, good. Good information. Well, we've got full lines again, so let's go back to calls. Let's hear from Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. No one's talked about Proposition 32, and I think that's a really important one to follow the money on, and it's a very important proposition because if it passes, it will kind of embolden the backers to go national with it and go to other states. And the campaign has been very deceptive. It's been called an anti-special interest ballot measure, but really it only enjoins union funding from affecting from participating in politics. And I think the goal is to get labor's voice out of politics, and then get the anti-labor candidates in, and who will pass anti-labor laws to roll back worker gains to conditions that are pre-FDR.
Well, thank you. The Yes on 32 campaign has raised $60 million. And the top funder there is Charles Munger at $36 million, the brother of Molly Munger, who's backing Prop 38. You also have groups like Americans for Responsible Leadership, a lot of individuals giving a lot of money to Yes on 32. And then on the No on 32 side, you've got the California Teachers Association, $21 million. This is big money. The SEIU, $13 million. AFL-CIO, $5 million. Democratic State Central Committee of California. What are your thoughts on this one, Leanne? I mean, we're talking millions of dollars on Prop 32.
Well, it's an issue that is extremely important for people, and these groups recognize it. Since I'm voter service, I can't comment on the pro and con, but it is one that the League is watching very closely because it is so contested in terms of the money that's flowing in.
Can you just give us a quick overview of Yes and No for 32?
Right. Well, on this measure, what the current situation is that Many unions use funds they obtain from payroll deductions for political purposes. And this includes contributions for campaigns for candidates, for ballot measures, or independent expenditures not directly related to a campaign. Other than unions, not many corporations or other organizations fund from payroll deductions to use for political purposes. So what Prop 32 would do, if it passes, would be to prohibit any corporation, labor union, or government contractor or government employer from using payroll deductions for political purposes. It would also prohibit any government contractor, including public sector labor unions, from making contributions to elected officials who play a role in awarding a contract to that contractor. The state would, in terms of its effect on the state budget, though I don't think this is in people's mind all that much, it's really that political question up above, the state would experience increased costs to investigate possible violations of the law. And I can read a little bit what the pros and cons are, if you like.
Well, we're almost out of time, so I just want to make sure we get to other calls. But you've got the Republican Party saying yes and the Democratic Party saying no.
Essentially, yes.
Right. Okay. So thank you for that call. That's a very important one, Proposition 32. I mean, we're talking tens of millions of dollars on this one. Thank you for calling in, Judy. And let's go next to Susan in Oakland. Hi, Susan.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
And my question is about ranked choice voting. I'm wondering, is it okay to just make one choice?
Yes, absolutely. There's no reason why you would have to vote all of them. You are in Berkeley, you say? Oakland. And so probably there are multiple candidates. We have some jurisdictions where even though there are three choices you can make, there's only two candidates running. The only thing that you are advised not to do is to put your number one choice in as your first, second, and third choice, not the same person three times. It's not recommended because that won't help. It won't count. But if you just want to do one choice, that's fine.
And Kim, how many cities have IRV at this point in California?
I know there's quite a few. Maybe Leanne knows better than I do. It's been much more popular in the Bay Area than...
Right. Well, in the Bay Area, San Francisco, Berkeley, San Leandro, and Oakland are all running their ranked choice ballots tomorrow.
And is it popular? Do people
understand it? It's mixed.
In some
communities, it seems to go very smoothly. In others, that it's fairly new, there might be a few problems. But at the end of the day, the voters aren't complaining when they see the results. It certainly makes sense, and it certainly saves a lot of time and money in campaigning to only run an election once and not have to have a runoff.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Susan. And we have an email from Laurel. Laura, who says, please tell listeners that even though polls in California close after the rest of the country because of the time difference, they must still go to the polls and vote. Even if it appears that Obama has won, Laura wants Obama to win, from reports coming in from the East and the Middle, their vote still counts because we must have a high popular vote to make any challenging we'll have to do afterwards make sense. Do you find that, Kim, that people watch the results and maybe don't bother voting because they think that their candidate has won by a large margin, so what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, we're always at the very end of everything, right? We're at the end of the primary selection process, and it seems we don't get much of a voice in that, and then, you know, our votes come in last and our polling places are open last, so there is that sense. But I also think, I mean, I think voters in California are savvy enough to realize that there's a lot on the ballot. We have several really hotly contested congressional and legislative races all up and down the state.
Right.
Of course, these propositions are just the spending on them is through the roof. So hopefully, even if there are projections that come out early saying how the presidential election is going, I'm hoping voters will still come out. And, you know, this election's a real cliffhanger. I mean, the polls show the presidential election is very tight. And I don't think we're going to have things resolved as early as folks might like to have them before they go to bed.
Right.
We may not know till the next morning or the next week. And, of course, for California elections, counties have until December 4th to certify their results. So some counties need all that time to count all those late vote by mail and provisional ballots.
Yeah, and again, we've got 53 congressional seats up for grab in California. It's the most competitive House landscape in the country. $51 million has been spent. 11 propositions, $350 million has been spent. So it's very important to vote on those. Thank you for the email, Laura. And let's go next to Susan in Richmond. Hi, Susan.
Hi. I wanted to say I'm a teacher and voting no on 32. The teachers union and other unions do not take money out of people's checks when they are union members if they choose not to have the money taken out. We can sign something saying we pay lower dues and money does not go into elections. So this is 32 is being misrepresented as something where unions have all this control. We decide if we want our union to use our dues money for specific things, and we can opt out. So 32 is being misrepresented as something about unions taking advantage of people. We're able to, 32 is something that would take away our power as teachers and as other workers to have some kind of control over our jobs so that only, you know, corporations and others who have a lot of money to spend would be able to manipulate us. But having, we have something called, I forget what it's called, but anyway, we can opt not to pay dues toward that.
All right. So, thank you for calling in. Susan, Leanne, you wanted to add something there?
I appreciate those comments, sure. But I do want to say to those voters now, you know, time is fleeting, and if you need a place to go to get information quickly and you want to find out where your polling place is, we do encourage you to go to www.smartvoter.org. This is where you can get a lot of information very quickly, a lot of links to the information that you need. And particularly if you are uncertain about your polling place, it's very important for you to find out quickly. And you can just, it's just a simple lookup of putting your street address in, which election you're interested in, and you can get it immediately.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. We have an email from Joel who said, I heard this morning on NPR, NPR's California report that Prop 38 was funded by the Koch brothers through Arizona groups. Can you confirm this? There is an article over at LA Observed that says money used to oppose Jerry Brown's Prop 30 is tied to the Koch brothers. An Arizona group has contributed $11 million to defeat Prop 30 and to support Prop 32. So we will put links on our website right after the show.
There actually was an important decision that just happened overnight by the California Supreme Court to require this mystery donor of $11 million coming out of Arizona to have to disclose who they are. And actually, the FPPC revealed today in the press release that $11 million donation was actually laundered. So there has been some really great reporting on actually KPCC's website by Julie Small about the who that money actually is being traced to, and it does look like the Koch brothers may be involved in that contribution. It's still being researched, but this is an $11 million donation that was made in support of Prop 32 and in opposition to Prop 30, and up until today, we had no idea where this money came from. The donors were hiding behind claims that they had the right to remain anonymous, and under California disclosure law, which the FPPC fought for very valiantly in court over the last couple of days, including over the weekend, this disclosure has been compelled. Mm.
Well, kudos to the journalists who are getting this information out there. Very important. We have another question from Susan, and another ranked choice voting question. No, you do not have to vote for three people. Right?
Right.
So, no, you can just vote for one if that's what you want to do. You do not have to vote for three people.
And also, just to make clear, you don't have to vote on everything on the ballot anyway. I mean, a lot of people seem to think, in fact, we were involved in a poll last year that found 30% of the registered voters polled said they mistakenly thought you had to vote on every proposition on the ballot. A lot of people just skip propositions when they're not sure.
Right. Okay, well, great information. Leanne Campodonico with the League of Women Voters, Suzanne Barba with the League of Women Voters, and Kim Alexander, president of the California Voter Foundation. Thank you so much for answering these questions.
Sure.
Thank you. And thank you for your phone calls and emails. I'm Rose Aguilar. Tomorrow is Election Day, and here's what's coming up. What does it mean to get out the vote in 2012, and how are grassroots groups doing it? On the next Jour Call, we'll talk about how campaigns and organizations are turning out the vote, what actually works, and who gets lost in the shuffle in a country that prides itself on its civic engagement. On Election Day, we want to hear what you're seeing at the polls. Join us at 10 or email feedback@yourcallradio.org. It's Jour Call with me, Rose Aguilar, and you. Support for Jour Call comes from the listeners of KALW. To sign up for our podcast or newsletter or to share the show on Facebook or Twitter, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan and Ali Budner produce the show. Matt Martin is our executive producer. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer. And Joe Burke is the studio engineer. Our theme music was composed and performed by Live Human. Your Call is produced by KALW in San Francisco. Special thanks to our partners at KUSP in Santa Cruz. You can email us at feedback@yourcallradio.org.